It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. It is absolutely scorching out there. 90 degrees. The real temperature is like 94. Feels even hotter than that. I want to ask you kind of a weather-related question. 946-0435. Hopefully you had a good weekend. Anything you want to discuss, you can. 946-0435. When the weather is like this, what do you do? Like, what kind of activities are there with regards to getting outside, really doing anything? If you've been outside today at all, it's absolutely miserable. It's actually a little surprising. It says it's only 90 degrees because it seems a whole heck of a lot hotter than that. So 946-0435. When it's like this, does it make you just want to curl up and stay inside? And I mean, is, you know, I tell stories all the time that I'm from Arkansas, as most of you know, and I grew up very, very hot, and we'd always get outside and play ball, basketball, baseball, whatever we could. But the reality is, on days like this, no, we were sitting inside, soaking up the air conditioner. You don't grow up in the South without having an air conditioner, or else it can be very dangerous. But let me say one thing too, from a very serious standpoint. Driving around town today, you see people out doing road work, construction workers, anybody that's outside doing some hard labor on a day like this, you know, guys that do roofing, construction work, road work, building, whatever it is. You know, my heart goes out to those guys because this is just a miserable, dangerous kind of day. And again, I'm going to take this to a little bit of a serious level, that I often think about, okay, is college truly necessary anymore? You know, you can go get a good job. You can get a well-paying job without a college degree. And, you know, the fact that you're going to graduate from college, probably $50,000 in debt or more, makes me wonder, yeah, what, you know, is it even worth it for my kids to go to college in a handful of years, for your grandkids to go to college, or whatever the case might be? Then you get a day like this, and it's, you know, not to say that if you don't have a college degree, you won't be able to get good indoor white-collar jobs. You can. There's plenty of jobs out there for everybody. Traditionally, and I'm saying traditionally, you know, a lot of jobs that have been really hard labor jobs, very difficult, and, you know, outdoor kinds of jobs, those a lot of times have gone to people without college degrees. And, you know, there is, I mean, where we live, we get a massive amount of snow, very, very cold in the winter, super hot days like this. Again, that's why I said my heart goes out to anybody who's got a job out there working in these kinds of conditions, because it's pretty brutal. So those are some things I think young people need to think about, you know, with regards to college. Not that getting a college degree is going to guarantee any kind of great job, indoors, outdoors, whatever, good paying, you know, whatever the case might be. A lot of times those really difficult, really, really stressful, strenuous jobs that you're seeing people out having to do on a day like this, God love those folks, because we don't get by without them. I'm going to take a quick break here. We're going to talk some NBA Finals today. 946-0435. We got Game 6 is coming up tonight, or Game 5 is coming up tonight. Can the Mavericks hang on a little bit longer, or do the Celtics finish that out? We've had a lot of good discussions on the NBA. I want to get your thoughts on that and a couple things as well right after this.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House offers residential treatment for adult males affected by drug or alcohol addiction. Their facility is located in the Fairview Hills section of Altoona and is licensed to house 16 adult male residents who are seeking halfway house treatment services. Phoenix Domus is actively looking for referrals. Email referrals at phoenixdomus.com or call 814-515-2055. Rise above the grips of addiction. Let Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House help.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Super Paint products and Super Deck stains from June 14th through the 24th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to Hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to Hims.com/joy. That's Hims.com/joy.
Recently, a JMP Auto Mart, an SUV that was in one of the dealership's garages, caught fire. Thankfully, no one was injured as the fire occurred during evening hours when they weren't open. The vehicle, however, was a total loss. JMP Auto Mart would like to thank nearby neighbors, the Altoona Police, and fire departments for their quick action during this occurrence, and they want to assure you that they're open for business as usual. Come check out their large selection of cars, trucks, and SUVs. JMP Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona. They started 65 years ago, and they're still open.
HAG-FM.
All right, welcome back. I've been thrilled, pleasantly surprised. We've had a lot of people calling in, talking NBA, NBA playoffs. Over the last few weeks, it's been a really good surprise. We've not always had a lot of good basketball discussion on the show, especially when it comes to the NBA. College basketball occasionally, and I'll have guests that talk college basketball. But certainly during the playoffs, we've had a number of good discussions. We've had several shows with Caitlin Clark and the WNBA, and it's more drama over there with Angel Reese drilling Caitlin Clark in the head, getting a flagrant foul, and then saying she didn't do anything wrong. If that league didn't have drama, would anybody care? Maybe that's exactly what they need. Anyway, we got Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight. Celtics are up 3-1. Won the first three. Mavs won game four by like 38 points. One of the largest finals blowouts ever. Celtics can finish it off tonight. I do think they're going to finish it off tonight and probably pretty easily. 946-0435. You want to get into that? We got Nebraska Man. What's going on, Nebraska Man? How you doing, buddy?
Corey, glad to be in the air-conditioned room. You know, when I work for the city, days like today, being out there on that road, we'd be blacktopping streets and, you know, shoveling that blacktop down into that paver, 350 degrees, you know, plus being outside. I pity them guys today.
You know, seriously, you called in about this, I don't know, 6 months ago or so, and we discussed it, your career driving around for the city. That just had to be miserable. I mean, like, you wake up on a morning, you know it's going to be 95 degrees or whatever. How do you motivate yourself to get through the day, man?
Well, you try to work yourself into it gradually. You know, and sometimes, you know, we get the blacktop, we send somebody down at 5 o'clock in the morning and have the truck back by 7. That way we could go out and get the paving done in our area. We could have it done before, you know, by 10 or 11, you know, and then the afternoon, you know, we would basically be done. But unless we had a long job, if we had a water cut or a sore cut, you know, if we had to do that, it would be. You know, you bring two or three shirts with you. I used to bring two bottles of Coca-Cola and 7-Up. I put them in the freezer the night before. I'm talking pure ice. And you're outside. Put it underneath your seat of the truck, and man, I'll tell you what, it melted so bad, so fast. But you know, water being that hot, that cold, though, man, it really quenched your thirst.
Yeah, wow, it's wild. All right, so we got Game 5 of the NBA Finals tonight, Nebraska, man. You think the Mavs extend this in, or the Celtics come out and put a whooping on them?
I don't know if it's going to be a whooping. Depends how long that prodigious plays, and if he even plays. But I think if he plays anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes, it's over. It shouldn't even be close. But if you don't play, then Boston's going to be on, they're going to have to be on their heels. You know, they're going to have to make their threes. They better have a better defense than what they had the other night. They looked horrible the other night. I tell you, I never seen a team play that bad. A professional team in the finals. I mean, they looked horrific.
Yeah, but don't you think, I mean, I didn't watch a lot of it. Once they got down, and you're up 3, and I don't think they cared about that game at all. And so, and maybe especially because of that, they're down 40 in that game. I think the Celtics, the line on this is 6.5. Yep. I think the Celtics are going to come out and beat their butts.
We'll see. But, you know, one thing about sports, Corey, you never give a team an edge. You know, this gave these guys a little bit of incentive now to think that they, you know, their backs are up against the wall. It all depends how Kyrie and Lick can do tonight and the other guys. They're going to have help. If they don't have help from the other three starters or their bench, definitely Boston has the more veteran bench, the more experienced bench. But if them two guys from Dallas, if they don't have any help tonight, it'll be over quick.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call, man. 946-0435. Newly appointed caller number 2, stepping all in number 2, loving being number 2. What's up, buddy?
I feel all constipated because the Celtics won.
That's great. Now, would you agree with me that they didn't? Once that game got even a little bit loose, they threw in the towel and didn't care at all.
I think you're right. But I agree with Nebraska, man. You hate to give somebody even a little bit of hope.
Yeah.
Momentum is a crazy thing. And I hope they get on Kyrie tonight. And I hope Porzingis plays. Nebraska man stole all my fire. I think if he plays a significant amount and has a good game, I think that's critical. So I can't add much to what Nebraska.
Well, let me add then. You're a Celtics fan, and I think what you're doing here is sandbagging because the Celtics are going to beat their ass. They just are, okay?
I hope so.
And I know as a fan what you do is you paint yourself into this corner of cautious optimism. That's what fans do. You never want to feel overconfident or cocky, especially like this. But again, I'll put my notion, once the Celtics got down 8-10 points, you know, and it was going to be difficult, you just completely lose anything and everything. The Celtics are 64-18. I don't know what their record was at home, but I imagine it was sensational. They're not blowing this game at home in game 5 of the finals with a chance to kick this team in the teeth and go home.
Yeah, well, if you were a betting man, which you have been in the past, you would take the line?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. 6.5.
Okay, okay.
Absolutely. Because I think the Celtics, if they get up 10 or 12, it's going to be extremely difficult, and they're going to be unbelievably locked in. Coming back from a 3-1 deficit, I definitely would jump on 6.5. That number looks very, very, very feasible to me.
Yeah, they have to put the pedal to the metal tonight, because you don't want to lose two games in a row, and
yes,
then it looks like you've lost your momentum.
Because then you got to, and unless I'm wrong here, you can correct me, then you got to go back to Dallas, okay, for game 6.
And home.
Yeah, there's no way in the world a team that is clearly the superior team, there's no way in the world they're going to risk sending this back to Dallas and the nonsense that could end up taking place if there's a game 6.
Yeah, you don't want to get into that. So, well, I hope you're right. I'll check in tomorrow.
I'm going to go, bud. I'm going to go Celtics by 14.
Okay.
Yep.
I love it.
Yep. Very good, pal. Thanks, man. All right. My buddy Rob joining. I got Celtics by 14. The line's 6.5. Where are you on that?
Oh, I'm all Boston. I've gotten all 4 games right. I picked them in 5, as I did on the show a week or two ago. I had them winning the first 3 games. I did pick Dallas in 4. Game 4, because it was their last game at home, probably. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you see that when the Pacers lost to the Lakers in 2000, they lost in 6. They beat the brains out of the Lakers in game 4, if you remember. But yeah, Dallas, they're not some little guy underdog. We just grasp at straws to always peg someone as the underdog. And the older I get, the more I just squish on that like an ant on the ground. When I'm hearing someone rant about the underdog, I'm thinking in my mind, shut up. The ratings don't back that up. When we get little teams, and that doesn't account for right now, but when we get teams like in the tournament that make deep, deep runs, the numbers go down, down, down. People say they want to see underdog stories, but they really don't. They don't tune in. They want to turn on SportsCenter and go, oh, hey, look at that, they lost. But at the end of the day, Boston, as you said, 60-plus wins. I think they're 15-3 in the postseason. This is their chance. They don't want to go back to Dallas, because then you start getting concerned, because then it could end up being a game 7. This is where I expect to see Jason Tatum play his best. Jaylen Brown, Al Horford still stroking it from deep. Defensively, yeah, they probably just said to hell with this by the second quarter the other night. I mean, they were down, what, like 17 at the end of the first quarter. That's pretty daunting, especially on the road. I just look for Kyrie to kind of go Kyrie whenever he's got a front row seat to a great game but not really contributing. Luka, tremendous player.
I like that. Got a front row seat but just sitting there watching. And, you know, look, Luka is a tremendous player. Has he hurt? Look, Rob and I have had this discussion about LeBron for years and years and years and years and years. People criticize LeBron so much for losing all these finals. And it's not always fair. Yeah, Jordan went 6-for-6. LeBron's still a great player. Sometimes he's been on teams with a bunch of bums, you know, in the finals. But yet LeBron's going to take the hit on that. Has Luka's reputation been hurt over the last week and a half by, look, the guy led the league in scoring. He's an immense talent. But this is the finals. This is where we judge people. How much has he taken a hit because he's just a gigantic crybaby who has quit at times and hasn't played any defense. If you saw what Brian Windhorst said the other day, Windy is getting all this love and attention and respect for speaking the truth about Luka Doncic and really holding a flame to him and everything. I mean, Windhorst didn't say anything that it's not completely obvious if you're watching these games. So how much of a level of criticism have we put now on Luka Doncic's game, and how will this impact him?
Well, I'll have to send you. I read parts of a really good story. It was on ESPN the other day, and it was talking exactly about what you're talking about, and it was not very flattering towards him. And as I've watched this series, I've seen numerous times where he's you know, barking at the ref where they're out 5-4, and those quick transition points don't seem like much at the time, but when you're playing a team like Boston, yeah, he does. I think it has taken a bit of a hit. I will give him a bit of a pass that I do think he's playing injured. I think, you know, when you go down grabbing your knee and screaming at the end of a game just a couple of weeks ago, even if he shook it off for the most part, that still has to be lingering, and we could find more out in the offseason if there is any damage to his knee, which he shouldn't have never, ever, ever been in that game up by 20 with 2 minutes to go. I can't fathom why coaches do that. Nothing good can happen. You saw the malice at the Palace in 05. That was a historical, gut-wrenching brawl with fans and players, and it all started because you had starters on the court with a minute and a half to go. It was the Celtics, I'm sorry, it was the Pistons and Pacers, Ron Artest, Ben Wallace. I mean, you're just asking for trouble anytime you let these guys in late. But yeah, his defense is a lot left to be desired, as incredible as he is offensively, but maybe it's some of its immaturity to not being on this kind of stage yet. I don't know, but he's a couple years in, you know, of having the spotlight on him. So I think if he just gives it his all tonight and tries to, you know, not fight with the refs constantly, you know, we forgive, but if you're going to keep adding to it while the spotlight's on you, it could get a lot worse for him.
Yeah. If Luka leads them to a victory tonight, yeah, now that changes.
The narrative will change.
That changes the narrative. But they go out and get beat. Again, I'm going 14. I'm going something like
I'll lay your 14.
Yeah, I'm going to go like 115-101 or something like that. I just think Boston, it's the reverse of what we saw the other day. They come out and they play very well in the first quarter, and they get up by 6-8 points and then just continue to play. But if that happens, yeah, look, I want to get in this here with you if you have a second. We love to make a sport in this country out of ripping LeBron James. LeBron James is he's the second greatest basketball player of all time, period. And yet, because we all love Jordan so much, we find ways to criticize LeBron or anybody else. And yet, LeBron, like I said, he's taken teams with literally just like nobodies, a bunch of nobodies, Matthew Dellavedovas of the world. And who's that big dude that they had inside? I can't even remember his name.
Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
That was
his first run with Cleveland. That's how long it was and how it's easy to get it confused. That was two different eras.
Yeah, it's wild. But
you know what I mean?
We love to.
Dellavedova was his second running mate during the, 15 finals. I mean, that team was trash because Kyrie got hurt. Kevin Love got hurt. He had nobody, and they pushed them to six. I mean, it was insane. He's done a lot. That first run with Cleveland, I dare anybody to name five teammates he had from whatever it was, 03 to 2010.
Yeah, right.
You're not going to do it. And they were in the playoffs every year.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Appreciate the call, buddy. So Rob's on board with me. He sees a Boston pulling away. Now we'll take a break here, take some more of your calls after this.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Cup Series race recap from Iowa Speedway. Taking a look, 10-1, Brad Keselowski at number 10. Then you got Daniel Suarez, Alex Bowman, Josh Berry, number 7. Joey Logano, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., number 5, Christopher Bell, 4, Chase Elliott, William Byron, 2, one spot short of the win. To victory lane, Ryan Blaney, with 80 family members in attendance at this one. He is the first Cup Series winner at Iowa Speedway, as this was an inaugural event. He's a defending Cup Series champion with his first win this season after running out of fuel a few weeks back at Gateway, and also his 11th career win. 14th time, by the way, Ryan Blaney has led 100 laps or more in a race. Other stories on the day, tires were definitely an issue all night long, multiple drivers having issues. Your stage winners were Ryan Blaney for Stage 1, and Kyle Larson took Stage 2, winning his 8th stage of the season, but wrecked later on in the race after contact with Daniel Suarez, Denny Hamlin also involved. Speaking of Denny Hamlin, he went a lap down rather quickly in this event and never quite could figure things out. Martin Truex Jr. was busted for speeding during Stage 2. Kyle Busch came in with a tire failure with around 80 laps to go. It's his second did-not-finish of the season. Up next for the NASCAR Cup Series is New Hampshire, going down Sunday, 2:30 p.m. Eastern on USA. You're on the final lap.
Last year's RV trip, we met a couple with the same bumper sticker. What are the odds?
Your cousin isn't a good storyteller.
He was a podiatrist, or was it a pharmacist?
Huh, you don't say.
Oh, I can't remember.
But she owns an RV protected by Progressive, and you don't. So until you get your own RV, her stories are the most interesting stories you've ever heard.
Wow, interesting.
And when you do get your own RV, save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive.
Oh, anesthesiologist. He was an anesthesiologist.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify. Now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
Hank FM.
Hey, I want to send a shout out to my good friend Neil Riddell. Congratulations to him on an absolutely magnificent career. If you missed the news in the Altoona Mirror the other day, Neil is retiring from his managing editor job at the Mirror, and just a brilliant, brilliant career. He will stay on kind of in a smaller role, helping out with Penn State football coverage. So, you know, Neil's the longest tenured Penn State football writer in the country. And so he will continue to do that for the Mirror, but he'll no longer be the managing editor as he's retiring. And again, I first met Neil in 1999 when I came up here in February to interview for the job to cover the Curve. Came up, had an interview with Jim Lane and Neil Riddell, went out to lunch with those guys. I'll never forget it because, you know, I owe my whole entire life essentially to that interview. Everything I have in my life here 25 years later is because I got the job at the Altoona Mirror in 1999 to cover the Curve. I moved up here a month later, but I remember going to lunch with Jim Lane and Neil Riddell. Had a good interview. They had like 40 applicants for the job. And I was covering minor league baseball in Virginia at the time. I knew baseball. I was a good fit for what they were looking for. Single, young single person, could move, you know, could work my tail off. And that's really new baseball, loved baseball. That's really what they were looking for. So I came up here, and I remember telling them at the end of the job interview, I felt like, I feel like I did as well as I could. If you find somebody better, that's great. I feel confident and comfortable that I came up here and gave the best representation of myself that I could. And fortunately, I ended up getting the job. So I'll forever be in debt to Jim Lane and Neil Riddell. Jimmy retired a few years later, and Neil took over as a sports editor and then eventually the managing editor of the Mirror. So congratulations to Neil on a brilliant, brilliant journalism career. Everybody knows Neil. Neil's involved in so many things, president of the Blair County Sports Hall of Fame, just a pillar of the community. Look, whether you agree with the news, whether you agree with the Mirror, get the Mirror, don't get the Mirror, like mainstream media, don't like mainstream media, local media folks are doing the very best that they can to bring you the news. And I worked side by side for more than two decades with some fantastic people with the Altoona Mirror, and Neil's right at the top. So congratulations to him, and I'm sure he will enjoy his retirement, getting out, play some pickleball and some tennis and stuff. Hopefully Neil and I can go play some golf here a little bit. But just wanted to acknowledge that, because just a sensational run for my friend Neil Riddell. 946-0435. That's the number if you'd like to join us. We've been talking some NBA Finals here today. I'm on board saying that the Celtics are going to pound the Mavericks tonight in Game 5. Point spread is 6.5. I think you jump on that for Boston, because, again, it's a closeout game. It's in Boston. There's no way in the world they're going to come out messing around in any way with this, because they don't want to go back to Dallas. If there's a game 6, well, now the series is in jeopardy, because then you got to go back to Dallas where they just beat you by 38 points. So to me, I look at it as the Celtics come out and really take care of business tonight. So if you want to jump in on that discussion, you can, 946-0435. One other basketball thing. I mentioned this in passing a little bit earlier. So over the weekend, Caitlin Clark is driving to the basket, and she's playing Angel Reese. I know, you know, the women on the Olympics team, Diana Taurasi, you know, Asia Wilson, those kind of people. I can name a number of players in WNBA. The two most prominent names in the WNBA right now are Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. So that's just, you know, that's what the league is looking for. They're looking for a Magic Johnson and a Larry Bird. But both of those guys, you know, were kind of heroes in the early 80s. Here you have clearly what people would say on one side is the hero that everybody's rooting for, and that's Caitlin Clark. Angel Reese seems to love being in the villain role. But Caitlin Clark's going up for, she's driving to the basket for a chance at a layup. And Angel Reese comes across and tries to swat the ball and drills her in the head. Well, you can't do that at any level of basketball. You hit somebody in the head in basketball, that's a serious foul. So she's called for a foul in the game, and then they make it, they review it, and they make it a flagrant foul. And so this is obvious. This is common sense. But this is just how somebody from Angel Reese's mindset just doesn't seem to get it. She's contesting, saying that it shouldn't have been a flagrant foul. She says, I can't control the refs. They affected the game a lot tonight. I'm always going for the ball, but y'all going to play that clip 20 times before Monday. It's interesting to me, and I want to go down this road a little bit. The villain role, the us against the world mindset that athletes have, especially the younger generations, How many of you pay close attention to this? You've recognized this. You see this goes on everywhere. That the way athletes motivate themselves nowadays, the way coaches motivate their athletes nowadays, nobody thought we could be here. Everybody was against us. Nobody thinks you guys are any good. The whole world hates you. Everybody's against you. It's us against the world. You know, look, in sports, the difference between the many, many different tiers of athletes, those at the very, very top, the elite peak athletes, and then you have incremental steps down. There are a lot of athletes in a lot of different sports that are somewhat close to the high levels of competition. The differences can be minuscule. You know, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan are right at the top of all-time basketball killers. Just flat killers. Hated losing. They were going to do anything in the world to beat you. And they had the talent to do it. Now, a lot of people might have, maybe not a lot, but there might be a good number of athletes in various sports that have an unbelievable killer mentality. They try every bit as hard as Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. And one other person I would throw into that category, Rafael Nadal. I would say Rafael Nadal, I would put him number one. I think Rafael Nadal has the greatest killer competitive mindset in the history of sports. Please tell me you know who that is. Great tennis player. Best player of all time on clay. 22 Grand Slam championships, which will be second all time to Novak Djokovic, who has 24. Rafael Nadal is a phenomenal tennis player. Don't get me wrong. He's phenomenal. He's very gifted, great athlete. But you were never, ever, 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 ever going to see Rafael Nadal give up on any point ever. He could be down 3-0 in a set, which is very rare, and 40-love in a service game, and come back and win that service game to make it 3-1, and then come back and win the set 6-3. That's what Rafael Nadal did. He just grinded on people. The hardest worker, I believe, in the history of sports. And to say that I think he's above Michael Jordan and even Kobe Bryant tells you about that level of respect. Okay, so anyway, so you got that level, that layer. Then you've got other players, you know, in other sports that just a notch below and a notch below and a notch below. And how do they motivate themselves? One way they do it is the world is against us. Now, I don't think Rafael Nadal used that as motivation. The world was always for Rafael Nadal. Michael Jordan didn't use the world is against us, everybody hates me, as his motivation. Neither did Kobe. They were just killers. They were going to crush your spirit. As you get further down the line, though, you have to find ways to say, you know, if those guys are in the 0.00000000001 percentile of competitors, now you get down into the 88th percentile or the 82nd percentile or the 72nd percentile, and everybody's looking for a way to get a leg up, to move up a little higher. And one way they do it, the world's against us. Nobody thought we could be here. Nobody thought we could be here. Well, I remember hearing Nick Saban say that 6-7 years ago. This is after Nick had won 4 or 5 national titles. He ended up winning 6. But after he'd won 4 or 5, and Alabama was clearly the dynasty and number one program in the country, you'd hear Nick Saban. You'd see video clips of him talking to his players. Nobody thinks you guys could do this. Well, yeah, everybody thought you guys could do this. Everybody. The whole world thought you could do this. You're a dynasty. You're the best college football program going. But that's how coaches motivate young people. The world hates you. They're out to get you. And so I just don't remember it being this way when I was growing up. I don't remember, and look, everything's different now with 24/7 media, social media, talk shows everywhere. Every game is on TV somewhere. I don't remember it being that way that athletes in the 70s, 80s, 90s had to fall back and harp on the feeling of everybody's against me. The whole world's against me. Everybody hates me. Nobody believes I can do this. Now look, whatever these folks need to motivate themselves, they're going to do it. But I guess I just don't understand why not wanting to, why just wanting to be the best and doing everything that you possibly could to be, why that's not enough motivation. Why the need to, everybody hates me. I'm going to be the villain. I guess you could say Dennis Rodman fell into that category, because I think everybody did dislike Dennis Rodman, because he was just a nut. He's a nut job. He's a wacko. So that brings me to, like, Angel Reese. Angel Reese, a good basketball player. Is she a great basketball player? No. She's a really good player. Really good player. She's more of a role player than Caitlin Clark, who is a superstar. But, like, all we ever hear about Caitlin, all we ever hear about Angel, I'd never heard the girl's name. I'd never heard her name, ever. Until the national championship game a couple years ago, where she's doing the ghost, the hand, the five, putting up all five fingers and ghosting Caitlin Clark. It was the Final Four. I don't think that was a national championship game. It was just the Final Four. But she's ghosting Caitlin Clark, because that's what Caitlin Clark would do. I don't think I'd ever heard the girl's name. But ever since then, Angel Reese is this villain. She thrives on being the villain. She wants to be the villain. What if Magic Johnson had wanted to be the villain? Say, Larry Bird, you can be the superstar. I'll just be the villain. Everybody can hate me. No, you didn't have that. I don't get this concept that players need to be able to motivate themselves. The whole world's against us. Nobody thought we could do it. I deal with Penn State players. I've done it for nearly 20 years now. This is, I think, going to be my 19th season with Penn State, for covering Penn State. And the number of times I've heard, hey, nobody thought we could do this. Nobody thought we could be here. Well, yeah, I think everybody kind of did. That's why you have 107,000 fans. That's why you're ranked in the top 10 all the time. A lot of people thought you could do it. A lot of people thought you could be here. In fact, more thought you could beat Ohio State and Michigan more often than you do, but you don't. And so it's this contrived, made-up fallacy of everybody was down on us, everybody gave up on us. Well, yeah, we gave up on you because you lost to Ohio State for the 77th consecutive time. Okay, we don't believe in you because we don't believe you can beat Ohio State, because you never beat Ohio State. So that's how the players motivate themselves. Oh, everybody's against us. No, nobody thinks we can do it. Well, yeah, nobody does think you can do it against Ohio State because you never do it. So maybe in that instance, maybe it is a little bit of reality that they can use it as motivation. Everybody thinks Ohio State's going to beat us. Well, yeah, everybody does think Ohio State's going to beat you, because they always do. But short of that, the amount of times I've heard, oh, no, everybody doubted us. Nobody believes in us. Hey, whatever you got to do to motivate yourself, man. All right, today's show brought to you, as it is every day, by J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. If you're heading out to a camping trip, hunting trip, fishing, going out to a ball game, make sure you stop and get your cigar pack. Tobacco blends, pipes, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, J.M. Boswell's. They won't rush you. They'll let you go in. Take your time. Enjoy your experience. shopping for your pipe. Just in, you know, I do this sometimes. I hate this is a tangent I'm gonna go on to here from about the Jay and Boswell's thing, but I hate going into a store and feeling like everybody's just looking at me, like salespeople are looking at me, and they like, you know, you do this at like a furniture store. I don't shop for clothes. I hate it. But like a furniture store, especially high-end store, an electronics store. I worked in a mall many, many years ago, back 1994 when I was in college. And you're taught when somebody walks into the mall, you got to greet them within like, I don't know, 5 seconds. Hey, how you doing? If you need anything, let me know. And I always even hated that. I hated going up. I just want people to walk in and shop and do whatever they need. But you're supposed to say something to them. But I hate going into a store and feeling like the salespeople are just watching me. They're waiting for me to stop and look at something so they can come over. Hey, you like that? We have that in a bunch of different sizes. Don't like the black? We've got blue, red, green. No, get away from me. Get away. I don't want you anywhere near me. That's why I hate shopping. One of the reasons I hate shopping is the pressure, whether it's real or just my perceived notion that these salespeople won't leave me alone. Anyway, they won't do that to you at J.M. Boswell's. They'll let you go in, enjoy your experience, enjoy your shopping experience. Stop on over there, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. You won't feel pressured.
If you thought the fireworks were over after the 4th, you're mistaken. J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars has a red-hot deal on cigars July 5th and 6th during their After the 4th event at both their Chambersburg and Alexandria locations. Stock up on Drew Estate, Arturo Fuente, Oliva, and many more. And when you shop at J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, don't forget the swag like ashtrays, lighters, and much more. Don't miss the After the 4th event July 5th and 6th at both locations of J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, Alexandria and Chambersburg. J.M. Boswell, come for the deals. Stay for the smoke.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
If you're a customer of Davidson Snacks Outlet, stand by for an important announcement. Davidson Snacks Outlet has moved to a new location. The folks at Davidson Snacks Outlet feel blessed to watch their business become a success, and they want to thank their employees and you. Davidson Snacks Outlet's new location is 16843 Dunnings Highway in Duncansville. It's the same great variety of your favorite snacks and great service now at a new location. 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville. Davidson Snacks Outlet.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com.
Shoe Fly.
Your feet will thank you.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
All righty, welcome back. Pay for play is now here in college athletics. Landmark legal ruling yesterday with a settlement between the NCAA and power conferences over back pay that athletes that have been playing over the last handful of years had wanted for their kind of name, image, and likeness situation. Mark Wogenrich from FanNationSI.com, all Penn State, joins us right now. We are now in very much uncharted territories. Wogie, it's kind of fascinating where we are today, kind of compared to where college athletics have been for most of our lives. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think it reminds me a little bit of the summer of 2021. I mean, we didn't know exactly what was coming. With NIL, there was the umbrella concept that, hey, this is good, but, and I think we're here. It's just, it's the next iteration. It's the next step down the line. It feels even bigger than that, actually. But I'm looking for that, the thing I didn't see back in 2021. Like, I didn't see in 21 the rise of the collective and the outsized influence it would exert on college football. And then with this decision, with this settlement, and the potential of, you know, of revenue sharing now becoming real in 2025, what don't we see that is going to impact college football next?
All right, I'm going to try to go through some specifics, but we're going to kind of be guessing here a little bit about how this will impact everybody, specifically Penn State. Okay, so the way I read this, and if I'm wrong about any of this, jump in real quick. The way I read this is, universities are going to be able to pay $21 million to athletes. Is that correct? Is that the number you've seen or that you're aware of?
Yeah, that's the number I've seen, but that seems a bit of an estimate to me because
right.
It seems to be based on a percentage
yeah.
and a projection. And again, I come back to the idea of athletic departments, can they pay, or is that a, I mean, that's essentially going to be a revenue share.
See, that's where things get interesting. Let's just throw out a number of $21 million. Okay.
Yep.
If that's what programs can pay, who's going to be able to pay that? Okay. And is Penn State going to be able to pay all $21 million? While it's fundraising for $700 million stadium?
Yeah.
So that's kind of the two-part question. How many football programs are there in the country that can pay $21 million? And is Penn State one of them?
I think Penn State's one of them. I think the two conferences, obviously, I think the Big Ten and the SEC, for the most part, are going to be able to afford that because, as you saw recently with some of the financial statements, you know, the Big Ten's most recent financial statement, being released, that schools are getting $60 million in the last, you know, like the last revenue period, the last fiscal year. That coupled with the money that's going to be the increased money from the college football playoff. Yeah, I think schools are going to be able to afford that, but there's so many complicating factors. One of the basic ones is, I mean, that $21 million you referenced is just, it, you know, as I read it, was not just for football. That's for athletes in every sport.
Who gets paid? That's the next question.
Exactly.
Who gets paid? Let me present a scenario to you. Penn State has 31 uh-huh. varsity sports. Alabama has, I want to say 18 or 19. As I was Googling it, my program, my thing froze. I think they've got 18 or 19. Penn State's got 31. If you can pay $21 million, everybody listen very carefully to what I'm about to tell you. If you can pay $21 million to all of your athletes, some schools can pay all of it to football. Say to hell with everybody else. Some schools can give men's basketball a good bit. Say, I mean, Alabama's got a great men's basketball program. You'd think they would give them some, but who knows? Penn State's got 31. Is Penn State at a disadvantage? How many of those athletes on everything else are going to get paid versus if Penn State's sitting there, and I think Ohio State has 38, so they've got a lot just for comparison. But if Penn State's sitting there wanting to try to pay everybody and be, you know, make everybody happy, then are they doing enough for football like other places might do?
Yeah, absolutely. The other complicating factor of you mentioning that is Title IX if you're getting into the concept of a revenue share, is Title IX and does Title IX affect this? Because of a, you know,
what's your
Title
guess IX on
really
that?
Does not affect NIL.
What's your
NIL
guess on that right now? Because that keeps getting brought up. My guess is it's going to go away.
Absolutely.
Yeah, my guess is it's going to go away. Well, but at some point, through the courts, Title IX is not going to be impacted by that. Say $21 million. You're just going to be able to give it to whoever you want.
You're going to be able. They're going to be able to narrow the focus because it is going. That's what I mean about a revenue share.
Mm-hmm.
If it's, you're sharing revenue, you're sharing the largest producing athletes. Football and men's basketball are going to share the most revenue. Clearly, but there's going to be litigation involved. Now, Penn State does, you know, even in you know, announcing the or at least the proposal to put together for Beaver Stadium, Penn State, you know, referenced the fact that football would help raise more revenue for the other 31 sports, or the other 30 sports, essentially. Just going to your point, in preparing, just sort of like I revisited the Penn State financial statement, and their last financial statement, their last fiscal year, football and men's basketball generated, it was like $47.2 million of their surplus revenue, not their gross, but $47.2 million of their surplus, of their net revenue. That was and 46.9 of it was for football, overwhelmingly football funded. The other 29 sports, they had a net loss of $26 million.
My God, man.
So that, you know, so when you're sharing revenue, if you're talking about revenue sharing and football generates 99% of your overall revenue, I don't see the argument to be made that there's a whole lot to go around.
Yeah.
For the other sports.
Okay. You said it the nice way. I'm going to say that they shouldn't give anybody any damn money other than football if that's what they're going to raise, including, and look, I'm going to be very blunt here. Women's basketball players should not be paid, in my opinion. If you've seen the numbers, women's basketball loses $3 to $4 million a year. If we're going to enter the world of football and revenue sharing and these guys are going to get what they bring in and all of those things, one of the realities when you enter the big boy world is if you don't bring in money, you don't get any money, okay? And so men's soccer, their women's soccer program is tremendous. I'm very good friends with Jason Dombach. His wife, Erica, is one of the great soccer coaches in the country. They lose money. So my point is, again, I'm just narrowing it down right off the bat. If you can spend $21 million... I can make a case that not a single dollar of that should go to anybody other than football and maybe men's basketball.
Anybody disagree with that? That's a discussion we had a few weeks ago, but I still stand by that. If football's bringing in all that money, why you got to be paying any of it to women's basketball or anybody else? You think Alabama's going to do that? Think Ohio State's going to do that? Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona. Hank is WKMC 1370 AM.